Today is Thursday, June 6th, 2024. My name's Daniel. Welcome to The Geeky Gay. This is the show where Adam talks about his life 5 days a week, and you listen. One more day of this. I told Adam I'd be happy to fill in for him as many days as he needs me to. By the way, hi, Adam. Hope you're doing well. I was thinking today, I was just like, is this my last one? Is this my last one? Oh, shit, I got another one to do tomorrow. But this is what we do. This is what we do. I don't know what that means. I had a thought, and it completely left my mind. I feel like that'll probably make the opening of the Big Fatty Show. And there we go, ladies and gentlemen. Right there, the very first mention of the Big Fatty program. Right here on the Geeky Gay this week while I've been here. It's amazing. I've gone 2 full days, I think, without mentioning Big Fatty once. So I hope everyone is having a really great day. You know, for those of you who listened to the teasers on, what was it, Tuesday's show? I said that I was going to, we had a person coming to our house to tell us about replacing windows. I don't know what that was. Replacing windows. Here's the thing, right? So our house was built in the 90s. And if you do a simple little Google search of the average life expectancy of a window, we're kind of there. We're kind of past the point of the life expectancy of our windows. And we can hear traffic from outside, like when a car goes, not traffic, we don't live on an interstate, but it's like when a car goes down the road, we can hear it in our room. If they're playing their radio loudly, we can hear it. Also, we live in Florida, which has the sun, which since our house faces east and west, and we have enormous windows on both the eastern and the western side of the house, we do get a lot of sunlight and therefore a lot of heat coming into the house. So it's kind of one of those things, right? It's like we were like, all right, well, I think maybe we should think about replacing the windows. It's a good thing. We have big projects that we want to do on the house, and this is one of them, but this is like the least sexy project, right? No one is going to come to our housewarming party and go like, are those double hung doors? Windows? Doors. Like, I fucked up the joke. No, I'm not going to stop. No, I'm sorry, Adam. I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to keep. I know you like to have a perfect show, but no, I'm just going to keep going. So I somehow in my head had convinced myself that we could replace the windows in this house for, I don't know, $15,000, like maybe around $15,000. We could replace the windows in this house. Zach seemed to think that it was going to be $30,000. A young gentleman today, well, I don't know that he was young. He was like Zach's age, but, came today named Jordan, came and walked us through the process of replacing windows to give us an estimate and went through room by room and did measurements and, talked to us about it. And this is from the Anderson Window Company. And, we were both wrong. We were both so fucking wrong. I hesitate to say how much it is, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Before discounts, it was going to be $73,000 to replace the windows in this house. And then we got some discounts on top of that. And we decided ultimately that we were going to go ahead and do it. For a bunch of different reasons, but probably the biggest reason is I kind of decided halfway through that it kind of was a sexy project. Cause let me tell you, you watch these home improvement shows and they have the cool windows where it's like, and if you look here, after you pull this up, you can push this button and the window folds inward and you can clean the outside of the window with it. And the inside, this is glass on both sides and it's filled with a inert argon gas that cuts down on UV and all those things that you see on TV. Yeah, this has that. Like, this has all that shit. And metal screens. Like, we we have this problem where we get cats that jump up in our windows from the outside and then scratch our screens. That happened in our old house, and it looks like it happened here before we moved in. And a lot of that just has to do with the fact that they're vinyl screens, right? Most people's screens on windows are vinyl screens. So these Andersons are metal screens. It's just like, yeah, come on, cats. I dare you. I dare you to try to scratch this shit out. So we're getting some new sexy windows in our house. I'm still processing. It's a lot of money. I'm still processing it, but it's a finance. Ultimately, it came down to this. Ultimately, it came down to being like $420 a month to put in these windows. It's like, okay, yeah, we can afford the $420 a month. Our electric bill in this house, we haven't been here through the summer yet, but our electric bill just this past month was in the upper 200s. So we're going to think through the summer. It's probably going to be in the mid 300s a month for the electric bill. And these windows will cut about 20% off of that. So that's money back right there. And it also, you know, increases the resale value of the house. But on top of that, there's it helps the air conditioning system, right? The air conditioner doesn't have to work as hard. That means that the air conditioner system will last longer. And like I said, it's sexy in the way that the little hardware works, and it's a cool fucking little window design and stuff. But it's not really like no one. It's not really really sexy. But anyway, there you go. We were both wrong. That was not on my bingo card. $53,000 for windows, not on my bingo card. But yet here we are. Here we are with the windows for the house. So. We'll see what happens. It's going to take them several months before they even get started. So we don't have to pay that money until they actually get started and stuff like that. I got another text from Adam telling me that, I don't want to say that because now he's going to know when I recorded this. I want him to think that I'm just effortlessly doing this. I'm effortlessly doing this. I am in no way, shape, or form recording this at 11:50 at night. I've had this done for hours. But I got a text from Adam that said, "Good job, Movie Pass sucked." And I'm just like, wait, the movie that I suggested that people watch sucked, or the actual product Movie Pass sucked? I asked him the movie or the product, and he hasn't replied yet. So we'll see. Anyway, I had this one thing that I like to read a lot of news stories. That's kind of what I do. Are you guys familiar with the Pomodoro? Pomodoro? Is it Pomodoro? Pomodoro? How do you pronounce that? Is it Pomodoro? Pomodoro? Pomodoro. Are you familiar with this? This is a technique that Joe Batance introduced me to a long time ago. And it basically has the gist of it is you break your work down into like 25-minute segments. So you work for 25 minutes. And then you take a 5-minute break, and then you work another 25 minutes. You take a 5-minute break. You work 25. And after four of those, then you take like a 15-minute break. And it's just a way to kind of like keep your mind fresh while you're doing things. And especially when you're doing things like writing or writing code or working on things like presentations and whatnot, it is a technique that helps me get things done when I really don't feel like doing things. Anyway, so I'm reading a lot of news stories during the day on my little 5-minute breaks or my 15-minute breaks. That's how I keep up with what's happening in the world. And I ran across this this article, right? It's a news video. So, the transcript of it is on their website, but there is also the video of this. This is from a local television station in WCPO. I have no idea where WCPO is, but I ran across this article, and so I clicked on the video just to watch it, a little 2-minute video. I wanted to share it with you now. This has to do with tipping. There's been a lot of, there was a study that just came out recently about tipping, specifically about whether or not employees are making more tips now that the tipping request is built into the POS, right? So by having all those screens that every time you pay for something, it shows up. Would you like to leave a tip? Right. Like by adding that in, does it actually increase the amount that people tip or not? And what they found in the study was, no, it doesn't really increase the amount of tip. People that are going to tip are going to tip. That it just pisses people off that it's there. You know, it doesn't actually increase tipping in any meaningful way. So I assumed that this article was going to be about this, but oh, I was wrong. This is the hard-hitting journalism of WCPO. Let's listen to it now, shall we?
There's a growing frustration with all the requests for tips these days. As a result, tipping is down since the height of the pandemic. And that's a tough reality for workers who rely on those tips.
So tipping is down since the height of the pandemic. Yeah, probably that has a lot to do with the fact that during the pandemic, we were all getting food delivered and we're basically tipping the required amount on DoorDash and Grubhub, right? You had no choice to it. Or you had people that were like, oh, we have to support our restaurants out there. You have to make sure you support the restaurants to keep them from going under. So we all need to tip our waiters and our waitresses and everything. So I feel like this is just a bad premise to start with. The height of the pandemic was probably the height of our tipping. So to say that it's down from then, kind of like, duh. But let's go on, shall we?
We all love dining out on a beautiful day, but many people say tipping has become too much.
When the price of the overall meal goes up, the tip also goes up.
So this genius here would like us to know, just random restaurant customer would like us to know that when the price of the meal goes up, the cost of the tip goes up. That, again, hard-hitting journalism there, just in case you were... Apparently, the tip is somehow related to the cost of the meal, like some kind of, I don't know, percentage-wise or something like that. I don't know. It seems complicated, but now we know that when the price of the meal goes up, the tip also goes up.
It's 100-year-old restaurant.
This used to be a stable. You bring in your horse through those doors.
Owner. By the way, there are no horses in this video. And I'm not quite sure why it matters that it's a 100-year-old restaurant. It has no bearing on the piece, but okay.
Through those doors.
Owner Chris Breeden says cash-strapped diners struggle with the costs of leaving servers a generous tip.
I'm shocked that with the owner's name being Chris Breeden and he's talking about a horse barn, there was no joke made about horse breeding. I feel like that was low-hanging fruit. So.
People just want cheaper, especially when they're struggling with money themselves.
Right. So when people are struggling with money, they want cheaper experiences. So again, this is new. I hope you're sitting down while you're hearing this because this is very, very, hard hitting thing. This is why WCPO is the award winning news station that they are, wherever the fuck they are from, because of this hard hitting journalism here that, letting you know things. By the way, we're halfway through the video now and we've learned nothing, but listen.
It's not that they don't care.
In a new survey from Bankrate, nearly 3 in 5 adults in the U.S., that's about 59%, say they have negative views on tipping.
Now, 3 out of 5 adults, and then he lets us know that that's about 59%. Now, I haven't taken math in a long time. I did it in high school. I know it's been several decades, and I've heard a lot about this new math, so I'm assuming that maybe this has something to do with that. But in my little brain, I'm like going, well, 3 out of 5 adults is the same as saying 6 out of 10 adults, and if I'm not mistaken, that's 60%. So why are you saying it's about 59%? Like, I would understand if you said it's about 60%. Right? Because maybe it's a fraction off or whatever and everything. But 59 is a really specific number to say it's about 59%.
35% say tipping culture is out of control.
That's me.
And 34% say they're annoyed by pre-entered tip screens.
I feel like those two last categories are just all the same people. 35% feel that tipping is out of control and 34% are annoyed by tip screens. Those are the same people.
Some of it is because businesses don't want to raise prices any more than they already have.
By the way, absolutely no idea who this is. He's not identified in this piece whatsoever.
Sensitive to that.
The number of people who say they always tip at sit-down restaurants is down from 75% in 2021 to just 67%. Food delivery, 59%, down to 51%.
All right. So both of those, by the way, are down exactly 8%. So I don't know why we had to go through those numbers there. We could have just easily said that the people who always tip in both sit-down restaurants and food delivery, it's down about 8% since 2021.
And when picking up takeout, 17% to 11%.
So 17% down to 11%, which is what, 6%? Picking up takeout? I never tip when I pick up takeout. Is that a thing? Like if I go to Chili's and they bring it out curbside or whatever, right? But usually if I have some option where I can go in and pick it up myself, then I don't tip because I'm doing the work. I'm going in and you're not bringing it to my table, which is what I would normally tip the waiter for or waitress for, right? But anyway.
Hospitality management professor David Corson predicts an end to tipping. He says some restaurants are replacing tips with service charges.
So basically mandatory tipping. So this guy, by the way, with the largest Coke bottle glasses ever seen in the history of the world, has predicted that tipping is ending and is going to be replaced by mandatory tipping called service charge.
So that they can pay everybody front of house and back of house a living wage and provide benefits.
Okay. Or here's a really crazy idea. They could just pay them a fucking living wage to start with and get rid of the tipping altogether. How about that? How about we just pay everyone like a living wage and not worry about the whole tipping thing?
There's no way to do that in a tipped environment.
None. No
Allegra Tinmori has been a hostess and waitress and reminds us that restaurant workers rely on your tips.
They're getting paid like $3 an hour and then the rest is just all tips.
Now, this is, again, a random diner here at this place that he bothered to walk to. I'm going to guess it's really close to the WCPO studios. But he, with his hard-hitting journalism here, he went and he talked to this former hostess who said that waiters and waitresses are getting paid about $3 an hour. Do I have my thing? No, I'm sorry. It's like, you can go ahead and Google if you would like to what the minimum tipping, we'll do it together right now. It helps if I knew how to type. What is the tipped minimum wage in Florida? $8.98 an hour. It's not $3 an hour. They're getting paid $9 an hour plus tips. So, again, I feel like maybe as a journalist, you should push back on that a little bit or maybe provide some kind of actual information other than some old hostess who's sitting out eating lunch in the middle of the day, saying that they get paid $3 an hour.
So help those servers best you can. That way you don't waste your money. I'm John Matarese.
John Matarese, WCPO. Exciting stuff there. I hope if you want to reach out to him, you can do so. jmatarese@wcpo.com. By the way, that's jmatarese. At WCPO.com. Have them come listen to our podcast. Our podcast? No, have them come listen to Adam's podcast, specifically this episode. John, by the way, if you're listening, I'm not the normal host of this show. So please direct all of your hate email to the normal host of this show, which is Adam Burns. So there you go. All right, I'm going to get out of here. I got one more day. So we'll talk about something tomorrow. For more episodes, you can go to geekygay.com. You can email Adam at adamburns.uk@gmail.com. You can call or text 479-221-9393. By the way, John Matarese, if you're listening, texting is something that you do on a cell phone. So just before you do a story about that. And you can find many more LGBT and LGBTQ-friendly podcasts at pride48.com. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.